Well, good morning, everyone. I'd like to thank the leadership for giving me this opportunity to share with you this morning. While serving in Papua New Guinea in the mission school, I asked this one question: how can I be passionately involved in serving the Lord? Because serving cross-culturally is not an easy task. So the title of my message this morning is God's Uncompromising Love. So I begin to ask the Lord, what ingredient do I need to serve the Lord? What ingredient do I need? So the Lord led me to the book of Hosea. Hosea came at a time when God's wife Israel was a harlot. In those days there was no Bible, so God used a man to be to become the message. The message that you can have and it must come through him. So God made the prophet, the man Hosea, to fall in love with Goma, and after a while she bore him 3 children, and then she decided to go back what she was doing before. What goes through the mind of a man when a woman like Goma treats a man like Hosea? You know, she must have hurt him. She must have terribly done something too wrong to him. But what actually happens is that God gives him a shocking command. God tells him to go and bring his wife back. You know what goes through a mind of a man when a woman treats a man like Hosea like what Goma did to him? You know, he may be thinking that he might want to kill him, or he might want to get away with her. You know, but grace won. Out of all the odds, Hosea brought his wife, Goma, back home. You know, if Hosea was a prophet, maybe somebody was asking him, "You are a holy man. How can a holy man fall in love with a harlot?" And Hosea must have said this one word. You know, I have a solution for this. This is what he must have said. You know, how come God, who is holy, can fall in love with a nation that is so much committing adultery? But not only that, we can see God's love on the cross. You see, at the cross of Calvary, Bible tells us that he who knew no sin became sin for us. Amen. Hallelujah. We see that Jesus died for us on that cross. When we think about the cross, you see, I made notes this morning, but maybe I'm just going to speak from my heart. You see, when we think about the cross displays the nature and the characteristic of God. It is the cross where a sinner and a savior meets with a crush. But the crush was in the heart of God. It was not in the heart of any sinner. When we think about the prodigal son, we think about the son that needs to come home to the father. But when we see in the Bible, there's one place in the Bible tells us that God runs. Bible tells us when the father saw his son from afar, he ran to him. He ran to him and he embraced him. He never asked him, "What have you done? Why are you here?" But he embraced him and he loved him. That's what we see at the cross. The cross displays the nature and the characteristic of God. It is God's cross. It is not our cross. Amen. And then we see the life of Paul. Paul tells us that the love of Christ compels me. The love of Christ constrains me. The word constrain means to be held in a vice, to be held in a grip, to be overpowered, to be overruled by love. Paul says, I am overruled by His love. He doesn't say that I am overruled by some miraculous encounter. When I was heading towards Damascus trying to persecute the church, I saw a light shined and I fell on the ground and I heard a voice, Saul, Saul, whom are you persecuting? He said, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. And he was blind for 3 days. He said, I am not constrained by some miraculous encounter that I had, but I am constrained by the love of God. Amen. Sometimes I raise my hands and I wonder if God would you hold me again. Would you touch my hand again for one more time? Translate me into another atmosphere which I once experienced. But that doesn't happen every time. But the love of Christ, the revelation of knowing the love of God, that's what constrained Paul. You might be asking, what do you mean, Paul? What do you mean the love of God compels you? What do you mean but that you are constrained by His love? Paul says that salvation is free, but it's not cheap. It costs God His one and only Son on that cross. At the cross, God could not give up humanity, but God gave up His only begotten Son. It was at the cross. We see, the Bible tells us, behold, what manner of love is the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. In Romans chapter 5 verse 8 to 9 it says, but God demonstrated His own love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. If you are lost, Jesus is the way home. Come to Him. He says, I will lighten your burden. He says, come to Me. I will give My peace that passes all understanding. I will give it to you. Paul says, I'm not compelled by some miraculous encounter, but by the love of Christ that compels him. Paul says also tells us in Rome, in Philippians chapter 3 verses 4 to 7, he says, if anyone else thinks that he has confidence in the flesh, I have more confidence. I have been circumcised on the eighth day, on the stock of Israel, in the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrew, concerning the law, I am a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is of the law, blameless, but in all things it gained me nothing, and I counted the lost for Christ, yet indeed I have also counted all things lost. Amen. Paul says, I have more to boast on if you're talking about the law. But law didn't save me. It was the cross. It was the Christ that has saved me. You know, the Bible tells us, if we have love, amen, when we are in love, we would do anything. Maybe the first time you fell in love with your spouse, you'd do anything to please her or him. You'd go extra mile. The Bible tells us in John chapter 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave. You see, the love will always lead us to sacrifice. Sacrifice things in our lives, our time, our money, our possession. And love of Christ will also lead us to the lost, to the needy, to the helpless. You know, it is the love of God that compelled Paul. Paul says, I died with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. Hallelujah. And he says that I am compelled by His love. Bible also tells us, if we have all kinds of wisdom, if we can interpret prophecies, and if we don't have love, we're like a clinging cymbal and a sounding brass. You know, one of the mark of a missionary is to love people. You cannot love people, you know, if you are serving the Lord. You know, I was asking this one question, how can I serve effectively? And the Lord led me to understand this love of Christ. Once I understood the love of Christ, when that revelation came so real to me, and I was able to live among people, I literally went and lived for 1 week in a squatter. 1 week in a squatter. The people that I do not know. The food they gave me, I ate. They do the dishes. They cook the meal in the morning, in the night, sorry. And the dishes stays whole day. Until the afternoon, they cook again. It stays dirty like that. They gave me a bed to sleep with a hole inside. You know, imagine you sleeping like this for 1 week. But I said, I want to know what it means to love God. You know, we cannot love God until we understand God's love and then able to understand how we can love other people. There are many people dying in the world today. There are many people without Christ. But it's only through the love of Christ we can reach out to them. We can express our love to them. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me share with you one testimony about loving people, which has become so much part of me. When we talk about missions, what comes to our mind? What comes to our mind when we think about missions? Maybe we think about missionaries, when we think about foreigners, we think about cross-cultural missions, but missions is right here in our own community. There are people from different cultures right in our place, in our community, that need to be reached with the gospel. You know, missions, I didn't know about missions. I know you have heard it, but maybe I just share it again. I was serving in the Bible college as a student. Every second Sunday we hear about missions. Money is collected every second Sunday. We talk about missions. We pray for missionaries every time. I even sat around in Barbara Buckland's class for 40 hours on missions. I see flag every Sunday. But nothing happened to me. 40 hours. You might be saying, you must be really dumb about not knowing what was being taught to you. I mean, you can talk about other things, but missions. I mean, 40 hours she talked about missions. Everything that she talked from Genesis to Revelation about missions. From Jerusalem to Rhea and Jaya about missions. Everything just went over my head. Pastor Barry talks about missions. Missionaries from other countries come and talk about missions. But what is missions? I entered this school serving as a staff. And I asked this question to Tim Johnson, who was the principal from United States. I said to him, you don't have any other topic to talk about. You're always talking about missions. What is missions to you? He says, missions is like a bug. You won't have it. You won't know it until you have it. And here I was, serving as a full-time, as a missionary student, missionary staff, reaching out, talking to people about missions. You need to get involved in missions. There are people dying in Philippines, in India, in other parts of the world. You need to get involved. I'm talking to them. But nothing was happening in my heart. Until I began to study from Genesis to Revelation, every scripture concerning God's heart for the lost. It is then when I remembered what Barbara Buckland said. After she was going through the scriptures, every scripture concerning God's heart, something happened in her heart. And that day, from Pastor Barry's office, she came out. She saw a bunch of children playing, dirty. And she grabbed them and she began to cry. Something happened in her heart. You know, something like that happened into my heart. As I began to study every scripture from Genesis to Revelation concerning God's heart. And I was able to reach out to the lost, to the needy. Because God has spoken to me. He has showed me that you cannot love people if you do not have God's love in your heart. It is easy to say, I care about people. It is easy to say that I can love people maybe because they are of the same social economical level. Maybe they are clean children. But what about the dirty ones? What about the people who do not wear clothes? What about those who do not have a shower one whole week? and you want to reach out to them. I want to finish with one illustration. A time when America was going through a time of comfort, God raised a man by the name of Albert Benjamin Simpson. One day as he was studying his scriptures, he looked into Matthew chapter 28 verse 18 to 20 and he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and lo, I am with you." And he flipped backward, he said, in Matthew chapter 24 verse 14, he says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness and a testimony to the nations, and then the end will come." He flipped backwards and he flipped forward and he flipped backwards and he says, "Go therefore and make disciples, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world as a witness and a testimony to the nations, and then the end will come." You know, this is what he said. God is waiting upon the church to finish the job. God is waiting upon the church to finish the job. Church. He said, historians say, he went and preached this message to larger and larger audience, where young men and women got out of the seat. They went to India, they went to Africa, they went to China. Historians say, if you go there today, you will see their graves. But you will see the number of churches they have planted where people know Christ today. You know, COVID has taught us a lot today. You know, many people are dying. If you've seen videos on India, you've seen people who are being burnt right on the streets. People are dying of every sickness. Because when Jesus is going to come back, there won't be any pain, there won't be any suffering, there won't be any sorrows. Do you want Jesus to come back soon? Do you want Jesus to come back soon? Maybe busy with work, I guess. Do you want Jesus to come back soon? So let us finish the job that Jesus has given to the church. To go out there and preach the gospel to everyone that hears, believes in the name of Jesus. Amen. So thank you so much. And I trust that these words have been encouragement to you.